Well, church, it's good to be here and worshiping this morning with you. We are in a Lent series called Towels Over Titles. And what we're doing is we, as followers of Jesus, we're looking at this year what Jesus did and how we as disciples can literally live out the way of Jesus in practical ways. Because we believe our discipleship happens in threefold of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and then doing what Jesus did. And so sometimes that is the hardest place to be. And so this morning we are looking at a character that's not often looked at. I think sometimes it's hard to give a deep, hard look at Judas. And I remember, as I was thinking about this, there was this friend, and I remember, like, we were best friends. We were, I was his Bible study leader in college. We were seminary friends, like, we sat next to each other, and you know who you, like, side chat all through class. Or for work, you know? Yeah, that was my buddy. Like, that was like, oh man, this class is really long. Then we were married friends and we lived together, like next to each other, in seminary housing. And then my dad died. I was lost. I was broken. I was alone. And my friend was nowhere to be found. Wouldn't answer a text. Didn't sit next to me anymore. And I sat there and I realized, that whole question as I looked across the room in the classes we were together, and I asked this question, how could you? How could you? And as we dug into this text today, it was then I realized that if Jesus washed Judas, he would wash anyone. The question of how could you, that we could even ask to Judas in hindsight, if he would wash Judas, he would wash anyone's. So if you want to turn to me, we're going to look at the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet again. This is John chapter 13. We're going to read just the first section of it. But the whole story is verses 1 through 17. So I encourage you to have a Bible in front of you because we're only going to touch on a little bit of it. It said this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Would you join me as we prepare to hear the word this morning? Spirit, give us ears to hear. Spirit, open our eyes to see you this morning. Spirit, would you open our hearts to receive the difficult word and open our mind. We ask this in your name. Amen. It was 5 years later at a pastor's conference. I saw my friend. He was at the top of the escalator and I was at the bottom. And I was going up. And it was that moment where it's too far. You're too far to retreat. There's somebody behind you. And you don't want to look like that person going down the escalator. And so we were going up. There's an inevitability that I was going to see this person. Because he wasn't moving. He wasn't running. And as we were going up, I felt a nudge. Go to him. And in that moment, I was like, excuse me? No, he's got to come first. He's got to come to me. It was his problem. And I remember at that moment, and as I reflected on right now, is the reality of this. As we talk about washing feet, serving, putting our titles down, it is hard to put down your titles when you've been betrayed. It is really hard. And the reality is, if you don't put them down, you can wash people's feet with the title on or off. I could keep the title on and wash his feet saying, I have the pride that I was the bigger person. Or I could follow the way of Jesus and I could take off the title as the one who was abandoned, who was betrayed and go first. Matthew 26 gives us a little bit more of an intimate picture of what happened during the dinner. It says, Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hands in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you do not mean me, Rabbi." Could you imagine the gall, the guts, to have silver in hand, looking at Jesus, who you've experienced has read the hearts of human beings, and say, "No, that's not me. That's not me." This was hypocrisy to the greatest degree. Betrayal makes things feel costly. It is why we like to hold on to the title. It's why we like to hold on to the one that has been betrayed, hurt. I wonder if Jesus asked the question, even internally, "Judas, you betrayed me for 30 pieces of silver. That's what my life is worth." Same thing I asked my friend. "So you abandoned me because you want the freedom of the weight, freedom from the weight of guilt and the grief that I was feeling. You're the one who says, I am the one that owed. I am the one who's been hurt. I am the one who should get the last word." But the truth is, the towel, if you're like, "I don't want to put down my title," or even if you're willing to put down your title, but you don't want to pick up the towel isn't a dispatch or a denial of the pain that exists in betrayal. But it's a refusal to let the pain decide who you are, whose you are, and who you will serve. Not only did Jesus look Judas in the eye, giving him opportunity to repent, but yet Jesus washed his feet. And that means Judas walked away from Jesus with clean feet. With clean feet. Think about it. Like, Judas is the one that received the same grace as everybody else did, as all the other disciples, and yet he still chose to walk away and betray Jesus. The same intimate moment of him looking in his eyes, sharing a moment. And it wasn't enough. The washing came after the betrayal, not before. Jesus sent Judas away from him, not with unclean feet, not unclean outside of the group, but clean, just as the rest of them were. Think about that. Clean, in proper order, to be together. Allowing Judas to be in a right relation, to be clean before the Father. As they ate together, as they shared this meal together. There's a poem that I found as I was researching it. And I want you to listen and look at the images as they are displayed. "That moment when you knelt before him, took off his sandals, readied the water. Did you look up, search his eyes, find in them some love, some trace of all that had passed between you? As you washed his feet, holding them in your hand, watching the cool water soak away the dirt, feeling bones through hard skin, you knew that he would leave the lit room and slip out into the dark night. And yet, with these small daily things, with washing, with breaking and sharing bread, you reached out your hand, touch, fed. Look, the kingdom is like this. As a small mustard seed, as yeast, a box of treasure hidden away beneath the dirt. See how such things become charged, mighty, when so full of love. This is the way. In that moment, when silence ebbed between you, you wrapped a towel around your waist, when you knew and he knew what would be, you knelt before him, even so, and took off his sandals. and gently washed his feet. That was a poem by Andrea Skevington. Jesus washed knowing. He washed knowing. Looking into Judas's eyes, his friend. Jesus' love isn't naive. He knows Judas had already been promised, has already been paid. He knows that Judas is going to leave dinner early. It's going to feel awkward to leave away from all of the disciples in Jesus. And he knows that Judas is coming back with soldiers. He knows. And this is how wide the mercy of Jesus is. That Jesus is willing to wash the feet of those who would wound him. I'm thankful for today that even as I have wounded Jesus throughout this week, that I have not loved him with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. And yet, knowing full well my actions and how I've walked with and without him, and yet able to come in communion today with you, my brothers and sisters, to sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit and still have a seat at the table. Jesus knew, and yet still offered Jesus the same seat that you and I are offered. Now, hear this. When we talk about what do we do? How do we take this experience, this moment of looking directly into Judas's eyes, to look at the interaction between Jesus and Judas? What are we doing? What are we saying? Well, what we are not saying, that betrayal is not enduring abuse. It's not staying in unsafe situations. It's not pretending that trust doesn't matter. It doesn't say that all boundaries were moved. But what it does say is that you and I are both Judas. Far too long, we often believe that we are the protagonist of our own story. But when we look hard enough, I'm not Peter. I'm not James. I'm not John. I'm not the best friends. I'm more like Judas than I ever dared. That I am willing to wound, to walk away, betray, for a little bit of security. For a little bit of satisfaction. I am willing to take years and decades of following Jesus and put it aside. Because discipleship is really hard. And sometimes it asks a little too much of me. Sometimes I really want to curse at the person who's driving. Sometimes I want to yell at the ones that love me the most. Sometimes I want to think about the worst that people could possibly imagine. I am Judas. I am the worst of the worst. And yet you and I are offered a seat at the table that we were once called enemies of God. You and I, think about that. You and I were once called enemies of the Holy One, the one who created us, that we had chose to live in our own idolatry, in our own godhood. And yet, as enemies, not only you and I, but he literally had an enemy in the room. And it didn't deter him at all for continuing to go to the cross. Because that's what happens in Romans 8, when it says that there is no where we can go, away from the love of the Father. No heights, no depths. Whether we are saints or sinners. Whether we are enemies of God or have been washed by the blood. You and I were once Judas. And so it makes me think when Jesus says in his first teaching, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Church, I wonder this morning, you still hear it said today, hate your enemies. Yet he still says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute. Put this in perspective. Jesus' first teaching to a ragtag group of people that are just wanting to hear from this Messiah. And he says this, "You've heard it said, but my disciples, hear from me now. Don't hate your enemies. Love them." And yet he called one who would be his enemy. To follow him, to love him, to be in relationship, to entrust him, to send him out with the other 12, to send him out with the 72. You have heard it said today, every day, the news is clear. Hate your enemies, love your friends. But what good is that to you if you love those who love you and hate those who hate you? Jesus says this, you were once Judas. And if I lived as the world, you would never have a seat at the table. You would never get to gather here to fully receive the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the goodness, the joy, the peace that is offered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you, me, offer it at a seat at the table of the Most High God, you and I each have a seat, a stool at the table, waiting to be filled. And the question we ask ourselves, will the Judases of our lives be excluded? Will those who have ill against us, who don't think like us, that don't act like us, that don't have the same convictions as us, who would betray us, are they allowed at the stool for you to wash their feet? Will we exclude them? Will we say, I was Judas, but I am worth it and you are not? Or will we heard it said today, again, through the words of Jesus, you have heard it said, but I tell you, they have a seat at your table too. They have a stool ready for you to wash them, even if they scurry out in the middle of the night. Invite them anyway. Will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, maybe there's been many nudges this morning. Maybe there's been many nudges in our entire life. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this morning who are our Judases? Maybe we are still Judas. Maybe we've been in proximity of the Messiah for a long time, and yet we have not been transformed yet. How far, how deep, how wide is the love of the Father? How beautiful is the table that has a seat for me? Holy Spirit, don't let us walk away the same. Speak now. Speak in an hour. Speak in 5 hours. Speak tomorrow, this week. Maybe take one step to live like you lived. We ask this in your name. Amen.